Time now for the Hardline.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
The Hardline features former St. Louis Blue, Cam Jansen.
Now the right by Jansen. Another left by Jansen. Now he goes to the uppercut.
And former Missouri Tiger, T.J. Moe.
Underneath, T.J. Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45. Left sideline, he's got a seam. T.J. Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house. 68 yards.
Unbelievable.
The Hard Line starts now.
Hey, welcome into the Hardline, 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. We got to fix that intro. No Cam Jansen. As you know, the Cam Jansen program was on from 2 to 4 today. You had three straight hours of hockey talk, the Cam Jansen program from 2 to 4, and Hockey Sense with Andy Strickland from 4 to 5. Instead of Cam Jansen, it is me, TJ Moe, doing the Friday Hardline special edition of the football show with Jonathan Edgar Hadley. John, hello.
Top of the evening to you, Mr. and Mrs. Moe's little boy.
John, how old are you now? Are you 50 what?
58. 58 right. Years old.
And what is your real middle name?
Lorenzo.
You are Italian, yes? 855-282-8255. Your thoughts are welcome. This is the Friday football show. We will be going an hour with you here at the 6 o'clock hour. Anthony Becht, who is calling the Mizzou Wyoming game on Saturday, former West Virginia tight end. He actually faced off against Barry Odom in that 1998 Insight.com Bowl. As you know, they would have as a tight end there in Barry Odom. Having been a linebacker, they had some one-on-one matchups that he actually said they will be doing some of those highlights on the broadcast on Saturday. So that'll be interesting to tune in. Very insightful guy. Eric Messersmith and I had a chance to interview him earlier on in the week. I think that was Wednesday. And really insightful dude, really interesting. Has watched a lot of film. He said, actually, he had done all of his prep work. If they had to go on the air Wednesday night, he was ready to do so. And had some interesting thoughts on Drew Locke as well. So we will dig into that in the 6 o'clock hour. But first, we got to get John Hadley's official gambling picks for the weekend. Don't forget that Illinois football is airing tomorrow. They look to go 2-0 after that comeback victory against Kent State last week. I think they were down 17-3 at half, ended up winning the game. Albeit they did have a big injury to a wide receiver that had a lot of promise after 1,000 yards his freshman year, now is on to, I believe, his third ACL tear in 4 years. That is too bad for him. Also on Sunday, we have the Dallas Cowboys kicking off. Throughout the season, we will have the Cowboys and the Chiefs. Their game is at the same time, so we will be playing the Dallas Cowboys this week. And on into next week, you will start seeing both of those games. So tune in for that. Today, though, we're going to tell you how to make some money on each and every one of those games. John, I wanted to start with college. How do you feel about the college slate this week?
Well, first thing we're going to do is start with the pros.
Okay, let's start with the pros.
Because there's something I need to tell people to do. I need to tell people, and often this is the case in life, get over yourself. Just get over yourself, because the fact of the matter is, if you die tomorrow, the world will go on. If you die tomorrow, your business will go on. If you die tomorrow, the trees will still grow. So get over yourself while you're alive. Stop this petty hatred for one, Stan Kroenke. Stop this petty hatred for the St. Louis, Los Angeles Rams, and do yourself a favor. I went to mybookie.ag.
You can go to mybookie.net now. It's legal in the United States, actually. They have notified us of that, so you're welcome to go to any of those sites that you please.
Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. My point is, on mybookie.net, which, by the way, what's the code to get 100% bonus?
Radio, R-A-D-I-O.
And for these frickin' millennials, you probably need to spell it, because God forbid they ever say the word favorite.
Yes, it's
they just
fave,
had the word fave.
That's right.
Entered into the dictionary.
Yep.
Anyhow, the point is the Rams are minus 190 to win the NFC West, which means if you wanted to add extra $100 to your holiday shopping expenditures,
mm-hmm.
you have to bet 190 on the Rams to win 100. If you want to add 200 extra dollars, you need to bet 380 to win 200. Or if the good Lord has provided you the means and opportunity to play at a bigger rate, if you want to bet 1900 to win 1000 to improve your holiday pleasure, that's about as good a bet this entire NFL season as I can give you, because there is not one team within spitting distance of the St. Louis, Los Angeles Rams in the NFC West. So I don't care if you bet 95 to win 50, 190 to win 100, 1900 to win 1000, 950 to win 500. I don't care. If you don't do that before the season starts, you will look back and say, once again, Notre Dame is a better known as a John Hadley. I apologize for being such a freaking moron and not listening to you.
Well, that would be smart. That I think I'm with you on that. Are they your Super Bowl pick for this year, John, on the NFC?
Yeah, but I mean, that's a little bit more difficult. Than,
yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, everybody's pretty high on the Rams. I was thinking about that today as the kickoff, as the football season kicked off on what was a terribly boring game last night. But the what I was concluding there was that I think because of the division and how far ahead of everybody I think they're going to be, they're going to have a first-round bye, and they probably have the easiest path to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you can clearly put the Vikings and the Eagles in the Rams class for the time being. I think it, logically you should. And then you have teams like, you know, New Orleans or Atlanta, maybe, and I emphasize maybe Green Bay, you know, in there. So it would by no means be an easy path, but I would, if I had to pick one team right now, it would be the Rams, because I think they will probably finish with the best record in the NFC, giving them the number one seed, meaning that they'll be playing home games right into the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I would go with the Rams. What I can tell you what right now is I'm not being facetious. I'm not joking, folks. If you like to make sports investments, and, you know, I don't know what the other places have them. I know that mybookie.net has the Rams minus 190 to win the NFC West. If you don't do that, you're just absolutely foolish.
Yeah,
that is as sure a thing as there is right now.
Yeah, I was just looking at mybookie.ag futures. The there's really not a ton of value outside of that. I mean, that looks really far off. And do you think that's because people think? I think people understand that the Legion of Boom is largely in the past here, and that Seattle will be better than, you know, a 4-win team, but they're not going to challenge the Rams. Do you think?
I tell you, I know exactly where you're going, so I'll interrupt you and save you the verbiage.
All right.
The San Francisco 49ers notoriously have been one of the all-time favorite teams in Vegas. And while, you know, obviously my bookie's an internet-based sports book, the fact of the matter is there's still a heavy reliance on the 49ers. The 49ers and Cowboys, you'll never, ever, ever get any value on, ever, because those are the two teams that the entire world seemingly wants to bet on.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So San Francisco being plus 250, San Francisco might improve enough to maybe be a 500 team, maybe a 9-win team. Contend for a playoff spot? No. Contend for the West? Absolutely not. A vastly improved football team? Quite possibly.
Yeah, and we saw that the second half of last year there with Jimmy Garoppolo and the marriage of Kyle Shanahan. But I'm with you. I'm looking at the futures here in the NFC West and the NFC in totality. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals, they're not going anywhere. They're plus 1,000. The Seahawks are plus 380. I don't see any value there. San Francisco plus 250. I just don't think anybody else has a chance. the number of minus 190, I think, should be a lot heavier favorite. For example, the Eagles, yeah, they were Super Bowl champs, but they're minus 200 in a division with a vastly improved New York Giants team. That may be the best value pick on the board there. They're plus 500 to win that division.
Yeah, you know, it's just all you have to do is pay attention, and you have an opportunity to make money. You know, I mean, wagering on sports is really no different than the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being facetious here. It's really, you just look for value, and you know, everybody wants to be a billionaire overnight, find the next Amazon. Well, it took 20 years for the next Amazon to be the next Amazon.
Right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. Sure. I'm looking at, I'm in the NFC right now. We'll switch to the AFC here shortly, but I don't see much. I mean, outside of the Giants there, I think the Giants, when you look around, I understand Olivier Vernon is not playing this week against the Jaguars, and they may start out 0-1 here, but they've got a competent quarterback. Even if now he's average, he's a guy that's been at two Super Bowls, and when he has to have a throw, can make the throw. They have a probably, by the end of the season, a top five running back in this league in Saquon Barkley, at minimally from an athleticism standpoint. You have a star receiver that you just paid a ton of money to. You finally have a left tackle in Nate Solder. Landon Collins really came around and is one of the better safeties in the NFL now. You still have Janoris Jenkins. I mean, you have stars at virtually every position. I didn't even name the linebacker from the Rams, John. What's his name? We used to call him
Alex Ogletree.
Ogletree, thank you, Alex Ogletree, who's a star too. I mean, they don't have the same depth as everybody else, perhaps, but they have stars in almost every position. At plus 500 there, and an Eagles offense that looked pretty stagnant and has their prized quarterback still on the shelf until probably week 3 or 4. That's not a bad bet there.
No. I mean, the only thing in the AFC I like, I know that you won't, but I wrote them last year. I think they're potentially a better team this year.
Tell me why that is.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are plus 140. And I mean, the fact of the matter is, Bortle can't play any worse. I mean, this team not only has talent, they have depth.
They did lose Marquise Lee. Yes.
Doesn't bother me.
No?
Because Marquise Lee was a good receiver, not a difference maker. Now, was he the best receiver on the team? Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's sort of like being the best reliever in the Cardinals bullpen.
That's true. But typically, you would very much like a guy to have better weapons than just a running back. Leonard Fournette, as we know, is a star. I mean, right now, he may be that fifth running back. Everybody knows kind of the four of David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, and Todd Gurley. But he may be fifth right now. Saquon Barkley may pass him by year's end. But Leonard Fournette can run. But as we've seen throughout last year, the times the Jaguars lost, I mean, heck, they lost twice to the Titans, you know? So the times they lose is when people stop the run, and then what do? If you've got to air it out, and then you don't even have a guy like Marquise Lee who could run by you, there is a weakness there.
Yeah, but I'll roll the dice on one of three guys stepping up and being a factor, and two or three guys making a difference. Between Dante Moncrief, DJ Shark, and D.D. Westbrook.
D.D. Westbrook's interesting because he really didn't do it last year, but I really liked him coming out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, step it up.
Right.
I mean, they have guys there that can step it up. They have a wicked, wicked offensive line and a couple very solid backups.
Yeah, they got the kid from didn't they get the kid from Carolina?
They got arguably the best guard on the market, Andrew Norwell.
Norwell, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go Lidner, Norwell, Robinson, that's a pretty good left side of the line.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, now all of a sudden, you go Fournette, Yeldon, who can hold his own. And I still think Corey Grant's a very solid number three back. But all we're talking about is the offensive line. It's the defense. The defense that's just
oh, it's scary.
Just wicked. And they had backups. I mean, their back among their backups are DJ Hayden and Ronnie Harrison. I mean, they have Mike Bennett as a backup on the defensive line. They have Smoot, who everybody was so high about coming out of last year's draft. Their number one pick, Tavon Bryan, is a backup because their defensive line with Yannick and Marcel Darius and Malik and Calais. I mean, come on, Calais Campbell. Are you kidding me? They're secondary difference makers. I mean, arguably the best cornerback duo in the league right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And it's interesting, you're watching those guys. I'll be interested to see this. This works for corners better than it does for mostly any other position. But typically when you see a guy start to get mouthy, he drops off a little bit. We watched that with Odell Beckham Jr., who got a little mouthy with the old boy from Carolina back in the day. And you're watching it happen here. But with corners, it tends to work. With Richard Sherman, it works, right? I mean, it's Patrick Peterson, he talks, and you're like, yeah, but he's a corner. It's fine. I don't think there's going to be any drop-off in Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye this year at all. In fact, they might be better.
Yeah, across you mentioned Fournette, you know, and then you look at D.J. or D.D. Westbrook, you look at D.J. Shark, you look at Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you look at Miles Jack. I mean, we're talking about young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Young guys. This could certainly get better. Now, the problem Jalen Ramsey is going to have to deal with is what some of the players have to wind up dealing with, which leads to having less than stellar seasons, and that's at every human being on the field wearing a different color uniform will take every shot possible at Jalen Ramsey.
Absolutely.
Jalen Ramsey is going to find out what it's like being Chris Pronger or Al MacInnis in the playoffs. Because every team knows that if you keep hitting them and hitting them and you either bruise them or hurt them, you've taken out a good portion of your opposition's strength. Jalen Ramsey, if he's on the sidelines or he's beaten up, guess what? You have significantly weakened what is a terrific defense and made it a good defense. So what Jalen Ramsey is going to have to do is walk the walk, having talk the talk, and that's man up, because they are coming after Jalen Ramsey this year. Mm-hmm. I guarantee they're coming after him.
And they should. And I don't like for guys going
you
low.
Would. I mean, in all seriousness, TJ, if you were playing for the opposition and you had a free shot, would you even hesitate?
Oh, not a chance. But I didn't hesitate at anybody, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be dirty about it. I would put my helmet right into his sternum over and over again. I wouldn't be the guy, because we've seen guys go after people's knees. And, you know, the cut blocks are one thing, although largely that's leaving the game now. But if you get a chance, I mean, if you can crack his sternum, do it. And there should be guys trying to do that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that I'm sure there's times that you could have taken a shot on a guy. You know what? Why just let it go? Just walk away, you know, or pity him for some whatever reason. But I'm sure there's shots, clear shots that you had at guys that you walked away from. I'm sure there are.
Yeah, I didn't really play that way, to be honest with you. If I had a shot at a guy, I took it, because there weren't too many shots as a 6 foot tall.
Because you're an old little dirty bat. Go ahead, what?
That's exactly right. At 6 foot tall and 200 pounds, if I got a shot on it, I was taking it, because in between every chance that I had to take a shot, I took 25 shots myself. So you don't pass those up.
I was 6 foot 200 when I was 4.
Yep. And, well, you haven't really moved much. I mean, that's about where you are, bud. Although 200 is pretty far in your rear view there.
Oh, yeah. We're talking circa 79-ish.
Well, I'm looking at the Super Bowl odds here. Is there anybody, any of the odds on it? You probably don't have them right in front of you. I'm looking at mybookie.net right now, and I am trying to see if there's any real value in the Super Bowl. The Texans, I suppose, could be a surprise team. They're plus 2,000. That's decent. Your Jaguars there are plus 1,500. The Rams.
Let me just again, getting away from divisions, folks. Do yourself a favor. I'm telling you, I'm giving you free money for the holidays. MyBookie.net, 190. Rams minus 190. Even if you just want to bet small, bet 190 bucks to win 100 on the Rams, and you're going to have an extra 100 bucks come the holidays. I guarantee it. Jacksonville is a little bit more risky, but I still think they're the best team in the division. They're the defending champions, and it's plus money. You bet 100 on the Jaguars, you win 140 to win that division.
Yeah.
I think it's still worth it. I really do. Those are the two that really stood out there. When it comes to the Super Bowl, the problem I've always had with Super Bowl wagers, unless there is one team that you were particularly keen on, I have found it more advantageous to sort of bet throughout the course of the season on the Super Bowl as lines change. For instance, as stupid as it may be, if the Rams lose to the Raiders on Monday night, yeah, they play Monday, right? Not Sunday. It's Monday night, Rams and Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Rams lose to the Raiders. Right now, on MyBookie.net, the Rams are plus 800 to win the Super Bowl,
yep.
Which means if you bet 100 bucks, you'd win 800 bucks.
Right.
If you bet 10 bucks, you win 80 bucks. I guarantee you the Rams probably go 10 to 1, 12 to 1 if they lose to the Raiders.
Right.
That's only one game.
Yeah, similar to back in 2014. That's a great example. It was week one, week two, it was real early on where the Chiefs took the Patriots to town. If you'd have bet the day after that Super Bowl when everybody was questioning if it was time to bench Tom Brady, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl, you made yourself a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. That's
definitely.
That's probably the smart. Although, give me forget the odds for a second. Give me your most likely to happen Super Bowl pick before we go to break here.
Well, I don't necessarily think that it's the clear choice has been in the past, but I think anyone that bets any team other than New England and the AFC is foolish. Seriously,
even with the completely torn down offense.
TJ, you know how many times I've written off the Patriots?
Definitely more than me. I'm a Patriots homer.
Because of defensive loss, in particular on two occasions, not only losses defensively, but guys who were like 114 left on the roster.
Right.
I mean, until proven wrong, I mean, it's just, people kept saying, why buy Amazon? Why buy Amazon at 500? Why buy it at 600? Why buy it at 1,000? Why buy it at 1,500? Why buy it at 1,800? Now it's over 2,000. When are you going to stop saying, why should I buy Amazon? And just invest in Amazon, let it sit there for 20 years, and make you some good money.
I think you're right on that.
Why bet on anybody right now other than New England Patriots and the AFC? You're just foolish in doing so, especially in a year where you can't tell me anybody in a division have improved so much they're going to make a difference.
No.
I still consider, without Le'Veon Bell, the Steelers to be a suspect contender. As much as I like the Jaguars, I'm still not going to take a chance on the Jaguars going to New England in January and winning a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I'm intrigued with San Diego or Kansas City, neither one of those teams scream, oh, they are so good they can definitely win in New England. So I'm not saying that I believe that New England is clearly the best team in the AFC. They're among them. But past track record tells me that you're foolish, especially since they're plus 500. Well, you're going to tell me that it's not a wise choice to put 50 bucks to win 250 on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
You said they're plus 500. I'm with you. Okay. I'm with you on the math there.
Technically, they're plus five, but the line is listed as plus 500 because everything is done in $100 increments.
Right. I'm with you.
So if you bet 100, then you're going to win 500.
Right.
Which means you'll get a return of 600 in total, the 100 you put down plus, your 500. But,
yeah.
I mean, you can make 500 bucks betting on the Patriots. Just don't look at gambling as a risk. Look at it as an investment. You'll be much more successful that way. Take it from someone who lost his ass for years. I was consistently the most informed, best loser in the entire world.
I'm with you on the philosophy.
I looked at it as an investment and not a gamble.
Right. I'm with you on the perspective in the AFC there, and I lean the same direction. You go ahead and bet against the best quarterback and head coach duo in history. Good luck, right? And they brought back the offensive coordinator that has largely held it together, even with suspect personnel at times. But I would tell you, man for man, I think I would take either the Chargers or the Steelers. If you take out history, right? If say this was 1993 and you're in the middle of the Cowboys dynasty here and you're looking at the AFC and these are the teams, man for man, I think you're probably taking the Chargers or the Steelers. But given the past 18 years, I don't think you are.
Yeah. Well, my question then becomes, and see, that's where you have to go next level. It's sort of like once you've penetrated the line of scrimmage, can that guard get to the next level to lay the block to spring you? So I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to ride with you. I'm going to say, okay, the L.A. Chargers can do it. I still contend that'd be the coolest thing in the world. Can you imagine how many hacked off football fans if it's a Chargers-Rams Super Bowl? Unbelievable how cool that would be. Unbelievable how cool that would be.
They'd be playing in they're still in that soccer stadium, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, what do they call it, the Honda Center? I've been in there a couple times during my travels out here. In fact, the NFLPA game, the All-Star game, was played in that at that venue for a couple years. If, I went to the Rose Bowl last year and drew two people.
I would feel a lot better about this if Casey Hayward were uninjured.
Right, yeah, right, because, again, even if it's not one individual, even if you can say, well, I'm not going to bank on one individual unless it's Tom Brady or Phillip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers, it still weakens the depth because you know they're going to lose somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know they're going to lose another defensive back. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you're immediately weakened right out of the box. But I'm going to go with your theory with the Chargers.
All right.
So they're 15-1. So if you're telling me the Steelers and the Chargers, I don't know what's going on with Le'Veon Bell. And you can tell me about the Terminator all you want. I watched a kid play in college. This is a guy who's overcome cancer. This is a guy who has a great story. This is a guy who, if he succeeds, is one of the all-time terrific inspirational stories in football. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not.
No.
You know? So I mean, my point is, okay, so with the odds on mybookie.net being plus 15 for the Chargers, you have a chance to win 1,500 to bet 100. You have a chance to win 150 if you bet 10 on the Chargers. But if you're asking me, are they AFC, I stick with New England. But before I would bet on the Chargers, I would ask this question of myself. I would say, John. And I would say, yes, John. And I would say, you're a good-looking man. And I would say, I would agree.
Giovanni.
I would say to myself, okay, I'm going to go with TJ's thought process, which is by no means flawed, but does it pass the last test? And if it's the Vikings or the Rams or the Eagles, can the Chargers beat any three of those teams? Do I have any semblance of confidence that that will happen?
No. And that's, again, that's because of the past. Well, you know what? I think you're right too, actually. I think the both the Eagles and the Rams have better rosters, and but the Chargers are up there. Albeit Joey Bosa is walking around in a walking boot.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. None whatsoever. And the Steelers, if Le'Veon Bell comes back, certainly a contender. But my point is, if I'm not going to bet on New England and then pick a team from the NFC, I am probably going to bet on the Rams and the Eagles or the Rams and the Vikings and take two teams out of the NFC, maybe three teams. Because think about it. If you bet 100 on the Eagles, you bet 100 on the Rams, you bet 100 on the Vikings, they range anywhere from what, 7 to 8 to 1?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm betting $300, and if the Rams win the Super Bowl, I'm getting a $700 return plus the 100 I bet on them. So I'm getting 800 back, so I will be $600 ahead.
Eagles are plus 750, the Vikings are plus 900, and the Rams are plus 800. So you're correct.
So there you go. I mean, you bet 300, 100 on each of those teams. If you're that confident, if you really think that the New England run has ended, you're concerned about the Steelers without Le'Veon Bell, yada, 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 yada. But here's the other thing. What happens if you go ahead and do that? and you've done the logical thing. You've bet $100 on three teams, the Eagles, the Rams, and the Vikings. Any one of those teams win, you're getting back a return minimally of 5 to 5.5 to 1.
Right.
Minimally, you're getting it back.
And by the way, Vegas agrees with what your thought process is here, because even with an offense that is missing most of the big pieces from last year, that's including Nate Solder at left tackle, that's including Mike Gillisley, who was not a big part of things, that he got cut this year, but he was still on the roster last year. Malcolm Mitchell, who was injured last year, but was a big part of things 2 years ago. Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman suspended for 4 games. Marcus Cannon out for week 1. Deion Lewis gone. I mean, we're still going here. That's 8 guys on the offense that are either missing the first part of the season or gone entirely, and they are still the odds-on favorite across the board, AFC and NFC, to win the Super Bowl. And you would argue it's because they have an easier path, and they probably do, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to beat the NFC team. At worst, right, you would say that their odds would be even with the NFC team because the NFC is so much stronger than the AFC this year, except for history tells you you probably don't bet against Belichick and Brady.
No. So, Mike, here's, again, just recapping real quick. If you don't want to bet on the Patriots, bet on 2 of the 3 NFC teams. Because, again, the lowest one is the Eagles at 750. So if you bet 100 on the Rams, 100 on the Vikings, 100 on the Eagles, and the Eagles win a Super Bowl, you win $750. You get 100 back that you bet on the Eagles. So you're getting an 850 return. You will have lost 200, so you're still getting 650 back. You will have bet 300 to win 650. So you will have more than doubled your money.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful part about this is they still have to play a game to win that Super Bowl. So now, if you're going to tell me that some of these other teams are going to get in there, what are the chances that the Rams, the Vikings, or the Eagles are going to be an underdog in that Super Bowl?
Not likely. Not likely.
So, all of a sudden, again, you want to hedge your bets? Well, guess what? I know that minimally, on the 300 that I bet on the Super Bowl, minimally, I'm getting 550 back. Minimally, I'm getting 550 back plus 100 on whichever team won that I originally bet.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I want to hedge my bets. Oh, I see the Steelers are plus 3. Well, guess what? I'm going to bet 150 on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to bet 300 on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl plus 3 points. And if I win, then I break even throughout everything. If I lose, I'm still up $250.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious.
So now I would have almost gotten 100% return on my money. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. And my question is, how much further would you be willing to go on that if you're analyzing everything? Meaning, if you are to do everything you just said, because feasibly you could do all 4 of those teams, right? One team in the AFC, and you're still up, right? If you put 400 down and the Patriots happen to win it, your worst odds there, you're still doubling your money, getting you're having put down 400 and you got back 500. That is at worst.
And you get back your 100 from the money that you put on the Steelers. So you're getting 600 bet, 600 back. You bet 400, so you're getting a 50% return on your money.
Right. So
a four month 50% return on your money annualized, you'll be at 150%. Again, it's investment, not gambling. You just have to figure the odds and do the most logical thing, which, guess what, means that somehow, some way, the Giants win the Super Bowl and you're totally screwed.
Well, that's the question here. Do you take a flyer? So are you saying, okay, look, with the craziest odds on the table, if the Patriots happen to win it, I'm willing to take what's probably going to be in a net zero by throwing down, say, another $100 on the Texans at plus 2,000. Would you take a flyer in that and say, okay, worst case scenario, I should be breaking even if one of these 5 teams wins it? And then there's really big upside if the Texans do it.
Well, and that's a very good question. And when you say 2,000, really it's 200 to 1.
Right.
Meaning that, 20 to 1. Meaning that you would get back, if you bet 100, you get back 200. So you're doubling your money.
No, you get back 2,000.
I'm sorry, you get back 2,000. I'm sorry.
Right.
So, you know, you're covering every conceivable wager that you would have made.
Correct.
Now, in truth, that's what I do. But then you're starting to get to the point in time. I mean, when I walk away from Vegas, I'm basically broke till Christmas. You know?
But so, you have, I mean, there's been times.
That's what I would do.
There's been times where I've talked to you and you leave with, I don't want to throw your exact business out there, but very large sums of money because of that. And there's other times where you say, okay, at Christmas, I broke even. So I just lent them my money for the last 4 months, but that's okay. I didn't lose anything long term.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, the only team I would be willing to do that with, again, would be Jacksonville this year.
Jacksonville plus 1,500.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, with Jacksonville, you know, if I bet 100, I'd get 1,500 back, you know, so that would be, but I will do that. I literally will do that very early Sunday morning before I come back to St. Louis.
That's an interesting deal. So you think you'll do all five of those, all three of the NFC teams that we talked about there?
No, I'll be doing all five of those.
No, that's interesting. So, you're because of plus 1,500, yes, you're covering everybody else, but you're also, you're in no way exposed, but because of that, the only exposure is the other 27 teams, 15 of which have no chance, and then maybe, you know, 11 of them, it would be pretty tough to get there.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I am literally going to bet 200 on each one of those teams, but just for simple math sake, let's say 100.
Mm-hmm.
The least, and if I hit on one of those five teams, the least will be the Patriots, and I'll get $500 back. So I will have bet $500 back. I will have bet 500. I'll get 500 back.
Plus the 100.
That actually, plus the 100 that I bet on the Patriots. So I will have made $100. Now, you know, and it is, again.
So you could go one more team under this circumstance.
I don't know about you, but anytime I invest money somewhere, if I can get a 20% return in 4 months,
oh,
that's,
yeah,
a great return, dude.
No doubt. And that, which, and that's the thing too. We said, okay, if you're going $100 on each of these, then that actually leaves you open. If you don't care about anything, if you're breaking even here, then you could actually go one more team and either take another flyer or hedge your bet even more. Because any given year, you can almost tell by the quarterback who all is going to have a chance. I mean, maybe the only other team in the NFC that can make a real run at it is the Saints this year. I had it lucky. Watched Atlanta yesterday. They're not much without Kyle Shanahan. Sarkisian doesn't have it. There's just not a lot of teams who on either the AFC or NFC that could really make a run at it this year. So feasibly, with the math we're talking about here, you can bet $100 on six teams, and worst case scenario, if one of them win, would be the Patriots and you break even.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's exactly the case. But, I mean, it's just that's the kind of thing that, again, you have to – anything that you do when it comes to gambling, you really, and I've said it before and I'll say it throughout the show, you have to look at it as an investment. And no matter how you do it, I mean, there's a lot of people who will short stocks that they buy worried about the possible losses. So they'll hedge their bets,
mm-hmm.
You know, and really that's all you're doing. You're picking the most logical conclusions for what is likely to be the best teams. Now, sure. You know, maybe Dak Prescott isn't a good quarterback. Maybe Dak Prescott's a great quarterback, and Dallas surprises. Maybe Aaron Rodgers stays healthy for 16 games, and the Packers finally do it. Well, the Packers are one of those teams that I continue to vacillate on, because the Packers are one of those teams that if they get to the Super Bowl, in my mind, they will have proven that they're more than likely capable of winning and probably the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I think that's right.
The Packers are the one team in this whole equation of mine that I continue to vacillate on. I've even given thought of, instead of betting on New England or Jacksonville to win the Super Bowl, I've been thinking about just taking four NFC teams and just betting New England and Jacksonville to win the AFC.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you rather play that or expose yourself $100 worth? Meaning take the Packers as well.
I will make these decisions tomorrow night with after I get off work with some very good medicinal glaucoma medicine. And once I'm in that state of mind, make these final decisions.
I think I'm with you here, and I'm going to throw. First of all, I don't bet, and I don't have any money to lose right now. I just got married, so you understand how. You just got unmarried, so you can do whatever you want. I just got married, so I tight budget. However, you could put $30 down on each of these and do something if one of them hit. And with the way the NFL goes, you're pretty well taken care of if you do all of these bets. And I mean, we're basing these largely on quarterback play too. I mean, look at the quarterbacks of each of these teams, and virtually every one of them, you're saying, yeah, he could win the Super Bowl. And the teams that we're not considering mostly can't. I mean, there's very few teams.
Have we taken a break?
We have not taken a break. We're going to have to go a long break here because at 30, when we said, hey, we're going to come back and talk college football, then we kept talking.
All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and come back and do it?
You got it. All right. This is Hardline. Me on my cell phone. Welcome back to the Hardline, 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. here on 590 The Fan, Illinois looks to go 2-0 against Western Illinois. They had a great comeback last week against Kent State, down 17-3 at half, ended up winning 31-24. And then Sunday, the Dallas Cowboys, who we will be the home of all year, face off against the Carolina Panthers at 3:25 p.m. So don't miss. You guys will be around and keep up with some good football. Of course, we need to dive into a little bit. We got about 3 minutes here. Any parting thoughts on NFL stuff, John Hadley, or college football bets that you must make?
Real quickly, I have two conviction wagers in the NFL this year, or this
week. John Hadley, everybody. Luke, see if you can get him back on the phone. You have about 2 minutes to do so before we have to go here. I do not. We can try to guess who these conviction bets may be while we're waiting. And I am kind of interested. I was going through some of these earlier today. The NFL lines, mine are a tad bit different than Eric Messersmith and I were doing these earlier today and also on Wednesday. I'm deciding what my lock is on here. I have a couple that I really like. Probably my favorite is the Texans plus 6.5 at New England. Now, the Texans are healthy. They get J.J. Watt back, and Deshaun Watson is healthy as well. As we talked about, the Patriots lost everybody. And I think they're still going to be good by season's end. If you pay attention, Vegas thinks they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl as of today. But they lost Deion Lewis. They lost Mike Gillisley, Malcolm Mitchell, Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, Edelman suspended. They lost, the list goes on and on and on here. So that is my best bet in the NFL, the Texans plus 6.5 at New England. John Hadley, welcome back. Your locks Giants, of the week.
Giants and Colts. Giants and Colts, they should not be getting points at home, and they are, based on their opposition. Giants and Colts are my two Sunday plays.
The Colts are not getting points. The Bengals are plus 3 at.
Huh?
The Bengals are plus 3, I believe. Let me.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think you're right. The Colts, I went on the money line.
Okay.
Colts on the money line.
Colts money line on mybookie.ag right now is minus 135.
Yeah, minus 135, and then the points with the Giants.
The points with the Giants. Let me find that real quick. New York Giants, yeah, plus 3 at home against the Jaguars. That's interesting. So you are high on your boys. We've been hearing it for about 45 minutes, but you're going Giants here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Giants at home, season opener. Improved roster.
Yeah, I mean, cold weather up there, you know. The Jags aren't going to be ready for it.
I'm just telling you, I'll roll the dice there. I will roll the dice on that. One game does not make a difference in when you're talking about a team that's only going to lose 4 or 5 games all year like Jacksonville.
Yeah, no, I don't. My question is not Jacksonville. I will take your word for it after you were the only guy on the planet guessing Jacksonville, not guessing, predicting Jacksonville as a dark horse to the AFC title game, and they went ahead and did it. So I will take your word on Jacksonville. And I am with you on the Giants. I've told you, they've got to start virtually every position across the board, offense and defense. There are very few teams that can say that. The roster is actually significantly better than they get credit for because McAdoo could not coach last year. With Pat Shurmur in there, maybe they turn around pretty quick. We will find out within a few weeks. And there's going to be a serious we will know quite a bit, actually, about this offense after this week. Normally, you can't say much after week one, but Jacksonville's defense isn't going to take any time to settle in. And if the Giants can move the ball and score some points, you'll know something.
Nebraska minus 165 on the money line. Nebraska minus 165 on the money line to beat Colorado is my college play.
So Nebraska, as we know, did not play last week. They canceled their game. Are you banking on Scott Frost making a huge difference right out of the gate?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Last year, Scott Frost, his team played a game on August 31st, and their next game, because of a hurricane in Florida, was September 23rd.
Wow.
He went 23 days without playing a game and went unbeaten.
How about that?
A team that will have overcome adversity based on a coach who's done it, I'll take Scott Frost.
Mm-hmm. Couple real quick, and I sort of ran through these. The lines have actually moved on these two. Georgia, South Carolina has moved out. I'm on South Carolina here. I was on South Carolina plus 10. It's now plus 10.5 if you want a piece of that.
I think Georgia will win, but I'll take South Carolina in the points if I have to.
I think you're right there. Kansas State plus 10, and the game is at Kansas State, Mississippi State coming to visit.